Want to be a lead magnet? It starts with using better words on your website. Hey, I'm Liz Teresa, and I'm here to tell you that improving your copy is the absolute easiest, quickest, and most cost-effective way to get more clients and cash rolling in. Go to freecopyvideo.com to download my free copywriting training. See you there. Hello, and welcome to the Liz on Biz podcast, where the guests are barely prepped and I'm barely ready. I'm your host, Liz Teresa, and I help you launch and build online businesses you love. This podcast is all about entrepreneurship, and I hope you like it. Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Liz on Biz. Here with me today is Sylvia Inks. She is the founder of SMI Financial Coaching, and she is a business and financial coach here to help you thrive and confidently run your small business. Welcome to the show, Sylvia.
Thank you, Liz. I'm so excited to be here.
I am so genuinely excited to have you. I think what you do is really important work. And so, I obviously know you, but tell everybody that doesn't necessarily know you. Tell us all what you've been up to in your business.
Sure. So I work with small business owners to become confident in learning how to run their business. Most entrepreneurs kind of stumble into their business sometimes by accident. So they've got a great product or great service, but they don't necessarily have the business or financial skills to succeed. So I help business owners learn those skills so that they can both succeed as well as spend more time and money with their family and on themselves.
That is huge. And so what are your clients usually like? Because you said small businesses, but are they like service or what are they like?
Yeah, great question. So most of my clients are service-based entrepreneurs. So they provide a service. A lot of them are creative entrepreneurs. So again, don't necessarily have the business or financial background, but they've got a great product. They've got a great service. They want to make an impact, but they don't necessarily have or are comfortable with the finances, the money, or Excel. And they don't want to be a bookkeeper. They don't want to be an accountant, but they know they have to focus on their finances to actually survive and thrive in their business.
Ooh, survive and thrive. I think that those two things are very important.
Yes.
And I love that you said this kind of even as you just started to speak about your business, is that sometimes you start it or the people that you work with, they like stumble into their business. They're like, oh my gosh, this is a business. And like, they like wake up in it sometimes. And like this hobby has turned into this thing that's really, it can be very powerful. And I think that's something that's so relatable for people that do start businesses. Would you say that you stumbled into yours? Like, did you kind of find this like a calling, or how did you start your business?
Ooh, good question. Mm. So I was an IT consultant for 10 years, and I did the crazy, travel 100%. At one point, I was living in San Francisco and traveling to DC every week for work.
Wow. That is a flight. Oh my God.
And I had met my husband while living in San Francisco, but he at the time was living in Chicago, working in San Francisco. And then when I started working in DC, he was working in Minneapolis. So, I mean, it was just like crazy lifestyle where we were like in four different cities at different times. And so when we got married and decided to raise a family, we quickly realized that we couldn't both be traveling consultants. So we ended up moving to North Carolina to be closer to family because I wanted to have family close by to help me help me with the kids. So I ended up taking a step back and just, left consulting. I focused on my kids, but I knew that there was something else I needed to be doing. Like, I was not meant to be a stay-at-home mom. I was quickly bored.
I get that.
Yes. And like just the creativity and like just help making an impact. And so I started looking into financial coaching and realized that's exactly what I wanted to be doing, helping people who, had the skill sets, who, they're smart in their own rights, but they just don't have everything they need in place to make their business succeed.
Was money like a jump for you because you kind of came from the IT world, or were you just kind of always interested in that? Naturally.
Oh, I've always loved money. My parents talked about money at the dinner table. Like, I think we were like one of those weird families, right? Like, it was not taboo to talk about money. So they would talk to us about, money stories at the dinner table and the car, shopping, just anywhere that they had time to talk to us. Like, my parents would instill some like money wisdom on us. So I grew up talking about money. So it was never it wasn't a weird topic for me, but I realized that it is a taboo topic. topic, or it makes a lot of people uncomfortable. And I think that's what translates to people not being good in their personal finance as well as their small business finance.
And so you've never like, were you guys like the kind of people that, not that you did this, but like, I'll just say this. I remember when I worked at a grocery store, when I was young, like I was 16, 17, I worked at this grocery store up the street. And there was a friend of mine who worked there with me, and she used to like ask you what you made per hour. Like she was like, well, what's your hourly rate? What's your hourly rate? And I was like, oh my God, why are you so nosy? And like, I thought it was like, so I guess I thought it was like so rude because I was like, and of course back then I think I made like $11.25 and she'd be like, well, I'm making $12.50. What? Right? Like, do you know what I mean? And like, now I say that and I'm like, who could live on that?
Yes.
It's really hard. But yeah, no. So how was it for you? So it wasn't taboo for you guys. Would you say like, I mean, should I assume that you were like really wealthy growing up, or like, was it just that money wasn't stressful?
No, the opposite. So my parents were first generation immigrants to the U.S. My dad moved to the U.S., you know, I think 12 or 14 and didn't know a lick of English. So he completely started new. And no, I think a lot of it, I mean, my father worked really hard. He went to school as a pharmacist for schooling, but he also opened his own business. So I saw kind of both sides of them working really hard in a job, but then also creating a business to, you know, allow for flexibility and additional income streams. But
what
no,
was
we
the
worked
business?
Hard.
I'm just curious.
My father opened a Chinese restaurant.
Oh, wow. That's so interesting.
Yeah. So it was back in the 80s when he opened it in Raleigh, North Carolina. And it was like one of like three restaurants, I think Chinese restaurants in all of the state of North Carolina. So he had people driving, you know, 2 hours out of the way just to come eat at his restaurant on the weekends because there was just nothing else available.
He was like a revolutionary. He really knew that was going to become a thing because now you can't even like, there's one in like every town.
Yes. Now there's one in every town, which is actually partly why I started my business. He, you know, had a very, very successful restaurant business. He owned a total of three. And then eventually, you know, competition from, you know, all you can eat Chinese buffets started popping up. So, and he just couldn't compete because his prices were, you know, he had set prices where he offered quality food and, you know, he couldn't compete with these cheaper, you know, buffet places. And so eventually he closed his business, which makes me really sad because I felt like, oh, that could have been a legacy. He could have like passed down. It could have been an additional income stream for the family. But so even if a business is successful initially, it doesn't mean it's always going to be. You have to keep up with the times and competition.
That's really interesting. So sometimes if you're working with somebody, is it usually that are they people that are startups, or sometimes is it possible that like they've been running their business and they're like, clearly I'm not doing things exactly. Do you know what I mean? Like clearly something's not quite right, or I could be running this better. Is that kind of another way people come in?
Yes, that's actually the most common reason why people reach out to me, is that they know they have a great product or service, right? Like they know they've been successful, they've, you know, had clients, they've sold products, but for whatever reason, they're still not able to make a profit. So just because small business looks like they're doing successful, they're all over social media, you know, except, and they're posting all their wins. But at the end of the day, most people come and tell me that they're actually not profitable. They're not actually making money at the end of the day.
Wow.
That their expenses are a lot higher than their sales and they're not sure what's going on. And they come to me to figure out, you know, hey, I'm, you know, if I can't make this business profitable, I'm at risk for closing it. Or, you know, my spouse has been supportive up till now, but I really need to turn around, make this business a real business. So a lot of folks they've been in business for a while. So it's not necessarily, there's not usually startups that come to me. It's usually people who have been in business for a while.
And what I love about what you just said is that it could be, it's probably businesses where we do see them post on social media. And for some reason, it makes us think, oh, they're doing great, right? Like, because the way that social media comes up in our brains is so filtered. And we're like, you know what I mean? You always see people, yes, and you're like, they're only ever happy having babies, getting engaged and going on vacation. Like, that's what social media is. Or eating really cute food, like pretty donuts or like nice looking lattes. But like in reality, like, I mean, I don't know. I used a K-cup brewer this morning. My coffee was just fine and I did not take a picture of it. Yes. But I think that that's a huge lesson, right? And I can actually tell you, there's a brand who I know, and I only know this because I know someone who worked with them But they're huge. They're like really huge. Like Marie Forleo huge. Like they're huge, huge.
Wow. That's okay? huge. They're yeah, really that's big. Huge.
And they like 1 year had like incredible profit, like millions and millions of dollars. And then they like ended up at a deficit because they spent so much money on a website. It wasn't, yep. They didn't hire me, unfortunately, for me. they ended up going like, they didn't go under, but like they went negative. And I'm like, how do you, I don't even know. Like, I'm like, how do you even spend all that money? Yeah. It's just like, but it does. That's just what it is. You know,
it's so common. So I would use the analogy. It's similar to what you say about businesses spending a lot of time building pretty websites, but then they don't focus on their copy or, build the correct about me page because they're not, focusing on the right things. Right. Like I would say that's very similar to what I see with small business owners. They pay, all this money on things like a social media person, spending hundreds of dollars for a social media person or paying a bookkeeper, $250 a month to maintain their books because they don't know how to manage their finances. But they're not focusing on the right things that actually move the needle on their business. Things like pricing your product, offering, are you even targeting the right market? Maybe your ideal client is not somebody that is going to be attracted to your product or service. Or to your point, just going back to the copies, I see a lot of business owners, they discount their products and services because they think the price is the issue. And when it really just, it's not clear. Yes, I hate discount.
That makes me so mad. Oh my God, can I tell you? I have this client. And I can't say who it is. Again, obviously, I can never say who it is. But what I will tell you is they had a program, like their signature program. It was like an automated program in the health and wellness world. And it was originally marked at $300. And people were buying it. It was not an issue. And then but that's because they were promoting it. Then they stopped promoting it and assumed people weren't buying it because of the price. And I said, no, it's just that you guys don't really promote it. Mm-hmm. Then they lowered the price anyway. And then now it's even lower. Now it's like $50.
Ooh.
I'm not even making it up. And they barely sell any. And I'm like, why do you think that is, you dumb people? And but I mean, no matter what I do, it's like a money mindset, self-value issue, right?
Yes.
So this person, this client, she hates paying me. She hates paying anyone. Like she's a nice person, but she hates paying for things. But I'm like, you hate paying for things. So why do you expect people to actually pay you money for anything? That's totally reflective. I know I sound very passionate, but
very passionate. Yes.
Right?
No, I am totally with you. I hate it when people discount because there's a perceived value problem, right? Like if you start discounting too much or undervalue and try to lowball, I have people who lowball their competitors thinking that will work and they may attract some clients. But then when I help them realize, what their break even number is, and I'll get into that in a minute, but then they start realizing, oh, well, I'm losing money. So then they want to go raise their prices later. And then they feel like they're stuck and they can't because clients have already gotten used to their certain, specific price.
And you burn out much faster.
Yes, you burn out. And, a lot of folks, they don't understand the break-even point. That's actually a big topic that I work on with my clients. They don't actually know how much it costs them to actually provide the product or service. And so then they pick a number, they pick a price out of thin air sometimes. And then they don't realize that based off of discounts or, let's say they have other people helping them, they don't realize that they're actually not making much at the end of the day on those products or services.
That's very dangerous, by the way.
It is. I actually had somebody who had no idea that when she gave a discount, because she wanted to give a discount to certain types of clientele. She was running a promotion and she was like, oh, I want to give 20% off to this person.
Ooh, wow.
So I said, okay, let's pull up your invoice. And I said, let's walk through what your sales price was, what your discount was, and how much, it cost you to build that product. And, including her owner's salary, as well as she had some additional part-time people that helped her. And at the end of the day, when she looked at it, she was actually negative for that product. She actually gave it completely away and lost money on it.
Wow.
And she felt so sick to her stomach. She had no idea. She had no idea that she actually lost money. She actually, I think it was something like $35 or $38 that she lost.
Oh my God.
And she gave away because she gave a discount.
That's
and she just
sickening.
Hadn't run the numbers.
See, that's it. Why don't people run the numbers? Why do you think that is? Are they afraid?
Some of it's afraid, and some of it, I don't know if it's just the mindset of just talking through. Like, a lot of clients, I will have to talk through. I'll say, let's start from the beginning. Pretend that I'm, you know, a new client. Tell me what goes into you, you know, building this product or giving this service. And so it's almost a step-by-step process that I have to pull information out of them. And then I'll pull up Excel and we'll just walk through and I'll plug in all the numbers. And then all of a sudden they see, oh, wow, I didn't realize that all the things that I do to touch or, you know, this product or service, I'm, you know, it's costing me X amount of time or X amount of dollars to put this together. Mm. And they don't realize how much money it actually costs.
That is crazy town.
Yes.
To me. Well, because this is probably because it's a healthier mindset. I just happen to have a healthier mindset about pricing, is that when I sell a lot of something, I raise the price on it.
Yep.
Because that's what you're supposed to do. So if you sell something easily, like if you close the deal, I mean, I've even started measuring my closing percentage from consultations to people that buy concept to creation, just for example. And like what my percentage of closing is on those calls. When I hit a certain number and I know how many calls I usually get, I'm happy to raise the price because I'm also like, how much am I supposed to do?
Yep.
And but like people get so afraid. I want to ask if it's not about, this is a good question. So yeah, like, let me think about how to ask it. If it's not the price, that's the problem when people aren't selling something. You kind of gave really great examples that I want to revisit as far as like, you know, that's not the reason people aren't buying is basically what we were getting at. Yep. It's usually because there's something wrong with the way that you're targeting people.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be like in your messaging. I think sometimes too, it can be that like you're not actually marketing what it is. Like you'd be surprised. So many people on social media don't actually say what they sell. And then they complain when nobody buys anything. And I'm like, because you've never told them to do anything.
Yes, because it's either confusing or, you know, there's not a clear call to action.
Mm.
Right. I think Don Miller's book, that Building a Story Brand, is huge about that, like being clear, right? Like people, if they come to your website and they're confused, they don't know what you're offering, then they're just going to click to the next website.
That is huge and very important. And true. And I love that. And I even love how you just broke it down, because it's like your message is confusing or there's no message. Like you're not telling people. Do you know what I mean? So it's confusing messaging or no call to action.
Yeah.
And a call to action for anybody listening. Most people that listen, I think, know what it is. But if you are listening and you're like, why does everybody keep saying call to action? Like, what is that? That's when you tell somebody specifically what to do in order for them to go, like, I don't know, basically buy something, opt into your list, whatever, right? So whatever your way of converting people is a call to action, right?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Then, I know. I got all fired up. I'm like still fired up about the discounts.
I'm totally with you too.
Like, I think,
again, people pay for the wrong things. They either pay hundreds of dollars for somebody to help them with social media, but then it's like you're pumping all this money in social media, either a person or ads, but then your website's still confusing. So then like people don't want to pay for a website change or things like they don't want to spend money on an accounting tool, and when that could save them time and money, but then, you know, they're willing to discount their products.
Have people ever told you that you're too expensive, even though clearly they need you so bad?
Have I had somebody tell me that? Yes. Yes, but then they'll spend money. They don't find anything wrong with spending $500 in social media help. It's like, okay, well, your pricing's still wrong. So it doesn't matter if you blast social media and have people come to your site. Like, you're not making money based off of how you priced your products.
I think. So, yeah. Thank you, by the way. I just love everything that you're saying. Okay. So one thing that you said too that I loved was the break. You called it like the break even number, right?
Yep.
Knowing your break even number for any product, I think, is important. Then I think, do you ever take it like to the other layer of like, how much money do I need to like break even for the month? So how many things do I need to sell? Do you take people there?
Yes, absolutely. I go in two layers. I do one, you have to figure out how many clients or products you need to break even every month. And then two, I also look at what's your most profitable product or service, right? Like I walk through and tell, you know, I say, what are your main offerings? And then how much are you billing for that? And how much does it cost you to provide that product or service? That way you can see exactly how much money you're actually making at the end of the day per service or product that you offer.
That's brilliant. That's really important work, like, that you're doing. I mean, you're like saving people's lives, but like saving business lives.
Yeah, saving lives, right? Like most small businesses, they don't survive past the 5-year mark, right? Like there's, I think it's still like a 50% survival rate. So most small business owners, I mean, you won't see them 5 years from now.
And I think pricing is that's a huge block for people. Do you ever help with like pricing products? Like even though you work mostly with service, I feel like you probably do have people that are like, for example, they sell t-shirts and maybe it costs, their cost to print. Like I can think of somebody I know, this is what yeah. I'll say, who is a t-shirt business and their cost to print is so high that I was like, okay. And like, they didn't even hire me for this, of course, but like, you know me, I'm a nosy girl. So I got my way into knowing this. And I was like, oh my gosh, you have got to like get your printing costs lowered. So like, do you ever how do you handle people like that? Sometimes you probably have to say like for manufacturing, you probably have to help them get lower quotes, right?
So for your example, for the t-shirt thing, yeah, I would walk through exactly, you know, how much does it take that person to print one product or that one t-shirt, but then also what are the operating costs? Like how much does it take to actually like run that space, have that building, that lease, the equipment, et cetera. And so, so you really have to look at everything that goes into the business to make sure that you're breaking even every month for not just you offering your product or services, but also to keep the lights on in the business.
That's a good point. Well, so in her case, she has them printed somewhere else and she just sells them. But like if it costs her $25 to print a shirt and it's a t-shirt, and t-shirts are like, I don't know, pretty affordable at Target. Not that that's necessarily exactly her competition, but do you know what I mean?
Yes.
How to stay competitive. I mean, I just told her, I was like, you got to get more quotes. Or actually, you even brought up a really interesting point with like, she could learn to print them herself. I mean, like people buy screen printers and it's like a few, like $4,000, $5,000. It's not like cheap, but like once you have it, you have it. And they just do it.
You brought up a very good point that I learned when I first started my business.
Yeah.
So small business owners, you can either compete on price, quality, or customer service. And it's very, very difficult for a small business owner to survive if you're competing on price.
Mm.
Because you're going to be competing against the Amazons, the Walmarts, the big, you know, the big box businesses. And if you're a small business owner, you need to focus on what's going to differentiate yourself. So I usually have my customers focus more on either quality or customer service.
I love that. And even valuing that is really important, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like I think about the free logo person I told you about when we started recording, or yes. Maybe it was before. So let's not say her name because I'd feel really bad.
People don't value free. So people do not value free. So we talked about, I think this might've been before we recorded, but people value online courses, right? Like and half the people that, I mean, most of the stuff that's in these online courses aren't new information. It's not new information, but the way somebody packages it together. Like I appreciate things in a step-by-step order. I appreciate things in a good process. I like all the information in one place versus me having to go and search, you know, in 20 different places for it. Sure, I could get it all for free, but the time that I spent searching for it and searching and sifting through bad content versus good content, I would rather just buy an online course from someone who I know, like, and trust. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go through your course and learn everything, and then I can move on and apply it.
And have it for reference. I think that's the other value of an online course is that you can reference it. Because if you find like, I think we did, I didn't even tell you this. So we did this thing before I launched Copy Masterclass. I had my assistant do, what would I even call it? A market research interviews with like clients of mine that were willing to be interviewed. And like as a compensation to them, I think I gave them like a $20 Liz Teresa gift card, something like small, but just for their time. And so like I had a client though, like who when asked about like, would you ever buy a course and she or buy an online course that Liz offered? And she said, I think online courses are a waste of money because I can just Google it. And that was like what she said. And it was kind of like sassy. And I'm really glad I wasn't on the phone. Because but she would have never bought, right?
Right, exactly. Yes. So she would never be your ideal target market, right? Like she's not going to be somebody who values information and how it's presented. And those are the DIY people, right? Like they may be okay with struggling to make a profit or taking longer to make a profit, right? Because taking longer to, you know, launch something new because they're trying to Google all the free information. But in terms of reference, I actually re-listened to your copy masterclass this week. Actually, it's been very timely.
Oh, yay. Oh, I'm so glad. I hope you've enjoyed it.
I do. It's very good. It's actually I did it also to compare because I want to create my own online course this year as well. And so I buy a lot of online courses. So I probably spent probably $20,000 on total across the last 3 years on online courses. So I do feel like I know like a bit about how different people kind of market and package their online courses together. And I will say that yours is one of the best.
Thank you.
I love how short your videos are, but they're not too short that it's fluff. So like I actually learn something and you give examples. So like, and I learn a lot, I learn best through examples. So I love how you say like, here's a good example of an IG versus here's a bad example.
Oh, that makes me excited.
Super, super helpful. So versus like some people who do online courses, like it's super fluffy, super high level. And then all of a sudden, like they have all these like PDF downloads and it's like, oh, now do all the homework.
Oh, like, I know.
Well, why didn't you spend an extra 5 minutes teaching me how to do, you know, like at least walk through an example.
No, that makes me so excited. And just so everybody knows, I did not make her say this. She just decided to say it. It was really nice. No, I love your copy. Thank you.
No, I do. I love your copy master class. I think everybody should take your class. And like I said, most people aren't very clear on their, you know, about me page or their, you know, what they're offering. So.
And that stuff really does. And it does really matter. What's your course going to be about? Do you know yet or no?
So I've been narrowing it down and it's going to be how to make your finances simple, by using tools like FreshBooks.
I love FreshBooks.
Do you? Yeah, yes, I do too. And I have people all the time that say, oh, well, I use QuickBooks because my CPA, that's the one they use and I don't want to use something they are not familiar with. And I'm like, no, like just use FreshBooks. Like it gives you the same exact information as QuickBooks, but it's easier. It's not as complicated. You know, I have people who tell me they've been paying for QuickBooks subscription for like 5-10 years and they've never opened it because it's just too confusing. And I'm like, well, why are you paying for something that a tool that you're not using and you don't like, you're not even looking at the reports to make changes in your business?
FreshBooks does a lot more stuff too. Yes. Like I use it for time. We do time tracking and project budgeting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
Yeah. Ooh. And like without that, I mean, well, so like I have project budgeting, so I know what I spend kind of like for each thing. Like, so I try to measure what we do because in service, you have to measure what you're doing all the time. Because otherwise then you find out that you're giving things away for minus $35. If you get yourself into trouble like that girl. But no, oh my gosh. So it's time. We're at that time in the interview where I get to ask you some personal questions. So personal rapid fire question round. And it's not that rapid, but it's fun anyway. Are you ready?
I am ready. Yes,
okay,
I'm
cool.
ready.
All right. So I would like to hear first, what, when you were little, what did you want to be when you grew up?
I always knew I wanted to be in business. I know it sounds super boring.
Yep, that's so like you did. I wanted to be on Days of Our Lives, but this is still good. It's not boring.
I always dreamed of like wearing a suit and carrying like and working in front of a computer.
Okay. Yeah. Like in an office, like with a, did you want a cubicle? Like, is that like what you envisioned?
I did. So yes. So that was my IT. That was my IT life. And then now I work in front of the computer, but I don't have to wear a suit.
Okay. What do you order at Starbucks?
Ooh, a hot chocolate.
Oh, really? My husband loves hot chocolate at Starbucks too, actually. So you're not a coffee girl.
I had to give up coffee. I was drinking too much coffee and not remembering to drink water, enough water to stay hydrated. So then I would just keep drinking coffee thinking I was using it to stay awake. And I was just making myself more dehydrated, more tired.
So it was like you drank out of habit.
Yeah, I was just drinking out of habit because I wanted something warm to drink.
Oh my gosh. Okay. And then tell me what kind of car you drive.
I drive an Infiniti SUV.
Oh, that sounds so nice. The Infinities are nice. By the way, I ring the bell because that means it's just something to do. It's I used to say it means I like your answer, but now I'm like, no, I just like to ring it. That it adds dimension to the show. No, it adds pathos, you know?
I love it. Yes. Yeah. No, the customer service of Infinity is fantastic. Speaking about money and value, I will have this, I'm going to put this plug in.
Yeah.
So buying a cheaper car prior to my Infinity, the customer service was so bad and I had to wait like 3 hours for an oil change one time.
What'd you buy? I'm just curious.
Oh my God. It was a Honda Odyssey.
Okay.
Awful. Yeah.
That's the van too.
And they would take me like, it would take me a week to 2 weeks to even get scheduled to get an oil change. Like it was just very, very inconvenient, especially for someone who has young children. And then fast forward, we traded it in for the Infiniti, and the Infiniti's so nice. You can go in, there's no appointment needed for an oil change. Usually takes less than 45 minutes, and they've got a nice little like break room where you can bring your laptop and work.
That is nice.
So, and then I'm in and out in 45 minutes versus, you know, potentially sitting in a waiting room for 3 hours.
Wow. Yeah. I have a Hyundai and actually they've really, I would say pretty good customer service. I had a terrible time getting a new lease though. So I wasn't thrilled about that, but then neither Hyundai nor Honda will ever sponsor this show. So like, I'm very okay with it. Okay. Last question. What's a book that shifted your perspective in some way?
Ooh. Last one, Atomic Habits by James Clear.
Ooh, I don't know. What is that about?
Oh, he talks about how to build habits and how to, one of his best concepts is talking about habit stacking and saying that if you want to build a new habit, the easiest way is to stack it with another habit that you're already doing. And so, and one of the things as an entrepreneur, which you may relate to, is that I was not working out consistently. Like I was, you know, at home and there's always another client to, you know, work to do or another phone call to do or another blog post to create. And so now I've built my my habit of exercise by when I drop off my kids to school in the mornings, I go straight to the gym. I don't allow myself to come home. I don't do anything else. I go straight to the gym and work out.
That's such good me time, right?
Yes.
Like, I mean, is that good for you?
Yes. And I've been able to stay consistent on it. So I went from barely working out, you know, maybe once a week, if that, to now I work out 6 to 7 days a week.
That's so impressive. Oh my gosh. Well, way to shift your habits. I can't believe it's time, but tell everybody where they can find you online. We've had so much fun with you. I'm so glad you joined me.
Oh, thanks. So yes, my website is smifinancialcoaching.com. I also have a book website. So I have a book that's on Amazon. So you can check out more information. It's smallbusinessfinancebook.com. And or you can Google me on Amazon. So you can look up Sylvia Inks or the title of my book is called Small Business Finance for the Busy Entrepreneur.
Awesome. Well, all the links will be in the show notes. Thank you so much, Sylvia, for joining me today.
Thank you, Liz. I had so much fun. Thanks.
Alrighty. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks so much for listening today. Be sure to subscribe, listen again later, tell your friends, leave a review, because all of that helps me do all of this. For show notes and more information, check out lizteresa.com/podcast.